Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
There was a huge upset this weekend.
Wow.
Indianapolis beating Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, your boy.
Right? I didn't expect him to go 16-0.
Oh, okay.
No issues whatsoever with that.
Your
None.
Homie's struggling the last couple of games.
Really?
That's all. Yeah, one touchdown in the last two
he
games.
He got hurt.
Oh, is that
he played on a bad leg.
One touchdown in the last two games.
Oh, don't. You want to go there?
No, we're
you
not
really
going there
You really
want
to go to touchdown?
We're
going to
go there later. Because
he threw a pass that was incredible
we'll
for
there.
That only touchdown. You know that.
We'll go there later. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think you want to go there
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we'll go there because they
all
lost.
Right. Well, anyway.
He ain't all that.
The game
of, chips.
Of the weekend. Oh, no, he is. The game of the weekend. Was not the upset, but it was the Green Bay Packers, number one somehow in Rob Parker's power rankings. Now, this week, they finally earned it. I know they're going to be there this week. They
number
earned
one.
It. It was an impressive performance in dismantling the Dallas Cowboys 34-24. They didn't run through the line. They didn't run through the finish line, I'll tell you that. But they held on, and they won 34-24, despite Aaron Rodgers not throwing any touchdowns, and I know that's big. I'm only saying that because that's big for Rob Parker. You know, he if you don't throw a touchdown and your team wins, you don't get credit for
no,
it.
No, I didn't say that.
You know, Tom Brady didn't get credit for his sixth Super Bowl victory because he didn't throw a touchdown.
All I'm saying
you
is,
know, so, no,
that's a big.
You've been saying that for the last
That's a big
two
road
months.
Win. When you take a look at you
it.
It
was great. There was an Aaron that was a star. It was Aaron Jones.
You guys keep thinking like, I was making it up about the Packers and that they shouldn't have been number one in my
they
power ranking.
They shouldn't last week.
But they should. And when you look at them now, two big road wins against teams that made the playoffs a year ago, two division wins, they're 4-1, and the one game that they lost, and they lost. I'm not going to make excuses for it, but a desperate Eagles team that couldn't afford to go 1-3. Desperate. And they won up there in Green Bay. That's
Their
a great
defense
start.
Is finally playing pretty well.
They make plays, this defense.
Right.
They're not great, but they make plays.
Right, and they got a running game for the first time in a while. Aaron Jones was looking like freaking Jim Brown.
Is that the first?
And I think Cowboys' defense is really disappointing.
It's bad.
It's small, and they got manhandled by the Packers at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, Zeke ran, you know, 5 yards a carry, but he only had 12 carries. But that was because they got behind so far.
Yeah, once you get behind,
right,
you can't run the football, right. So
totally. I give the Packers credit. And again, Aaron was good, you know, Aaron Rodgers, first half especially.
Yeah.
But still not, I'm waiting for that explosion. Maybe it's going to come.
Me
I have
too.
Faith in him, but
I'm
no
ready
touchdowns.
For four
and
touchdowns.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying you don't you know you don't like when a quarterback can't
no,
throw a touchdown.
No, he should throw two touchdowns at the minimum.
Yeah, he doesn't get credit for this, right?
This was about Aaron Jones.
Right.
That, I mean, how many guys, Chris, have rushed for four touchdowns in the game? It doesn't happen.
I like the one look.
It doesn't
I mean,
happen.
Some people might poo-poo it. I actually liked him waving goodbye. I can't remember who the DB was
right.
from Dallas. I liked it. As long as you get in, right?
Yep.
As long as you get in.
No doubt.
I'm cool with it. So,
But
I know you want – that's not what you want
no,
to talk about.
No, that's not what the game was all about.
Step aside and give you the floor and let you rant. And if necessary, and I think it will be necessary, I'll correct you when you're done.
Dak Prescott is a fraud. What part of the word don't you understand? Stop it. When they were 3-0, he had 10 touchdowns and zero touch interceptions. Chris Broussard and all these people. He's a lead. He's top tier. I don't know about those GMs and coaches that said he was a third-tier quarterback. Look at what he's doing. I don't care what defenses or what teams. He's still putting up the numbers. What's happened the last 2 weeks against good teams? When they don't run the ball, he can't do anything for you. I'm not being too hard on them. If the Cowboys want to back up the Brinks truck and give them all that money, that's fine. But I'm telling you, again, exposed against a good team. He made mistakes, 3 interceptions, the 463 yards. I don't care about that. Those were Stat Padford yards. When you're down 31-3, guess what?
The defense relaxed. No, they didn't go prevent. No,
they relaxed. They allowed you, Chris. Be quiet, please. Be quiet.
It's my turn. You're lying now.
It's my turn.
You got enough ammo where you don't have to fudge.
All right, let me continue.
I know you got it written down on your little notepad.
I ain't got nothing written down. This is radio. This is coming from the Megadome up here. That's what it is today.
Hell yeah.
But here's my thing. This is the reason why over and over people have questioned Dak Prescott and whether should he get paid. There are a lot of bad quarterbacks who have gotten paid, Chris. And if the Cowboys want to do it, that's fine. When Kirk Cousins got that deal, I thought that the Vikings were crazy. All I'm saying is these are the question marks I've had about him forever. This was a game at home against the Packers, who had just gotten beat by the Eagles, right? This was a game to bounce back. They just lost to the Saints. And the Saints didn't even score a touchdown. And Dak couldn't help them win that game. So here was an opportunity. It was one of those games. It would have been a good win for Dallas. Green Bay coming in. Aaron Rodgers has owned AT&T Stadium, has owned the Cowboys. What is it now, Chris? 8 out of 9? 9 out of 10? He owns the Cowboys. And that's including playoffs when he beat Dak in the playoffs a couple years ago. But my point is, I refuse to buy into Dak Prescott. I'm serious. He is a quarterback who, when everything is right, the running game, the blocking up front, when everything is right, he can win games. But if things aren't 100% for him, he struggles. Struggling.
Struggling.
Struggling. Yes. And this is what we saw yesterday. This was a perfect example on why, if I'm the Cowboys, I'm hesitant. I don't buy into him. I don't believe he's going to be that guy. And I'm not saying anybody could get to a Super Bowl with a quarterback if you just don't make any big mistakes. But I'm talking about, is he really that guy? And I'm talking about a franchise quarterback who can get it done when everything's not going right. No, I do not believe that. And I thought yesterday was Exhibit A. That was a chance for Dak Prescott to quiet the critics about him, to go from the third tier to the number one or number two tier and go up. And people go, man, what a bounce back game after that outing in New Orleans. Didn't happen. So there you go. I'm not convinced of Dak Prescott, and I think he's a fraud.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
That's what you spent the past 7 hours working on? That's what I was hearing? Oh, Rob's got fire in his belly. He's about to unleash on Dak Prescott. He's about to destroy Dak Prescott. That was it?
The numbers speak for themselves.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and act like Dak Prescott was great.
Tell
or
me.
Even good yesterday.
Tell me about how elite he is,
Chris. I give him a C minus, but let me say this. And no excuse. And I'm not going to rant and rave about in the second half how he rallied and almost, you know, brought him back. And, you know, he did, but that's fine. I'm not going to praise him for that. The game was out of hand for the most part. But the first interception that really turned the game, it hit Amari Cooper in the hands. I know it was a little bit behind him, but it still was a very catchable ball for an all-pro receiver.
Chris, you're talking about first?
It hit him in the hands.
He had multiple? He had multiple interceptions? Because you're talking about the first one, you're making an excuse?
No, but that turned the game. I mean, they were marching. They were about to score. At the very least, they were about to get a field goal. It's picked off because it goes off Cooper's hands. Green Bay picks it off, has a nice little return, and then the rest is history. They get rolling from there. Then the last interception, I mean, it was a clear pass interference. You know that. And I don't know if it was Cooper or Gallup, but they were taken out of the play and the ball was picked off. But I'm not going to blame it on the refs.
What about what about the two interceptions that called back?
You didn't go at the whole team. You went at Dak. And I'm just explaining that to you. Now, I've never said he's elite. What have I always said?
Yes, you did.
He's en route. That's what I've said.
Cardinals win it. They forced game five.
He is en route. Okay. He is en route. He still is en route to being an elite quarterback. And I stand by that. And if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I'm not overreacting to one game. One game. Did you really expect them to go 16-0?
It's not about going 16-0. It's about how well he played against the poor competition, and when he plays the better teams, he doesn't play as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did they go 13-3? Were all 13 of those teams weak his rookie year?
How about last year when
they went 10-6? Were all 10 of those teams weak that he beat? No.
Is that when
Ezekiel
Elliott was running the ball? Are you talking about then?
When Ezekiel was out, they went 9-7 when they were out.
Oh yeah, that's real big. 9-7.
When you're without your bell cow for six games.
This is year four. Enough already. The track record is not there.
I'll let you sing for 5 minutes. Let me go. There's a track record of 3.5 seasons. I know every now and then he's gonna have a bad game. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Drew Brees. But he is a very good quarterback en route to becoming a great quarterback. That's what I'm saying. And you can win, and you can win big with him. He's still, even after yesterday's stinker, guess who leads the NFL in QBR? That's right.
That tells you how bad
Dakota Prescott.
That tells you how bad the stat is, that it really doesn't matter.
I know that's what you rant and rave about every time I bring up Aaron Rodgers.
No, you don't.
Best QBR in history.
No, the best quarterback rating. I didn't say QBR.
Okay.
Go look at his Wikipedia.
Quarterback rating, Dak is like fifth in the league.
All right. I know it wouldn't be quarterback rating. That QBR is something different.
He's fifth.
That all I'm saying is when you look at the games that he's won and lost, that's what I look at. It does matter who you beat, Chris Broussard, and he had his way against three awful. That's when you were jumping around.
Let you speak out of both sides of your mouth.
I'm not.
Because if Dallas had won this game and Dak Prescott had not thrown a touchdown and Ezekiel Elliott had run for four touchdowns, you'd still be killing Dak.
No.
You're not killing Aaron Rodgers,
If they won the game, this is about Dak Prescott, who continues. This is why, Chris, the 55 executives of the Athletic put him to third tier. Your 3 years, you're talking about 3 years of stuff.
I didn't disagree with that.
But this is why.
He's climbing. I didn't disagree with that ranking. I didn't think he was 17th or whatever they had him. But I didn't disagree that he's third tier. But he's on the rise. Trust the brother.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Rob, let's get into a little bit of NBA talk. And it's not an NBA preview as the season is just a few weeks away from starting.
Oh, no, this is real deal here.
Yeah. I mean, the league has found itself embroiled in a major international controversy.
What do they call it? International incident. No doubt about
it. Right. That's not an overstatement. And basically, for those that may not be aware of it, a few days ago, Daryl Morey, the general manager, well-known GM, one of the top executives in the league, tweeted out in support of protesters in Hong Kong.
And it's been going on for a while. It's been a lot going on in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Chris, I visited Hong Kong. What a place. I mean, just what a magnificent city. But it's unrest going on right now.
Yeah, I that's one place I definitely want to go. I haven't been to Asia, yeah.
And Chris,
one of the continents I haven't been to.
There is a great bar there in a hotel where you can sit there in the bar and watch the sun go down. It is a magnificent view. It's like touristy. You know, like everybody knows this is a spot you can watch the sun go down. It is fantastic.
Right. So anyway, everything is not that hunky-dory right now over there, as you said. You have protesters in Hong Kong protesting the Chinese government. It's getting violent. And basically, I've talked to some people that have connections over there about what to get a history of it and what's going on. And they're protesting a lot of the what they feel are the lack of freedoms that they have over there. And so, however, Daryl Morey puts that tweet up and immediately takes it down. Then the Houston Rockets owner, well, after that, China just immediately responds to Morey's tweet, even though he took it down. And, I mean, they pulled the network, the TV network that broadcasts Rockets games, Tencent, pulled the Rockets off their air.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Yes.
The Chinese Basketball Association, which is led by Houston Rockets great Yao Ming,
yep.
They disconnected all ties to the Rockets.
They had some G League games that were going to be played there. Those were canceled.
The Rockets G League team was canceled. I mean, they have cut the Houston Rockets off. All right. And then the Rockets owner, Tillman Fertitta, he comes out and tweets, you know, he even says it like this. Listen, Daryl Morey does not represent the views of the Houston Rockets.
Look at that.
I mean, you could see the anger in the tweet, right? It was like he was lecturing you. And then the NBA follows up with a statement. Morey apologizes himself. Then the NBA follows up with a statement. And they did say, you know, while our values are that individuals have a right to speak up, educate themselves and speak up, we did not mean to offend anyone over in China and so on and so forth. I'm paraphrasing all of this. But that's the basic situation. And I'm telling Rob, the NBA is getting hammered.
Oh, yeah.
By politicians. I mean, when you can get Republicans and Democrats in this day and age agree on anything, you've done something. And what they agree on is that the NBA is playing the hypocrite. And as much as I love the NBA, covered it for the last 25, 26 years, they are. And what I think is happening is the NBA is being exposed. And I say it because of this. The NBA has garnered or been given this reputation as the league of social justice, as the woke league.
Yes.
And I don't think the NBA is any more woke than the NFL. And the NBA, NFL, everybody thinks the NFL is not woke at all. But here's why I say it. Because a lot of the things that, like, speaking out against President Trump in this day and age is not controversial. Am I right?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's so, it you could, get applause.
It could actually help your career,
right?
Chris. I'm just saying.
Especially on Twitter and all, you know, like social media. I mean, you get praised for criticizing Donald Trump.
Yep.
So
in the old days, that never would have been the case. Like, you know, even if it wasn't your president, it just was frowned upon.
Right.
But not now.
Yeah. So, I mean, players calling him out, they don't give you points for that because that's not doing something that's really courageous. I love to see you wear the I Can't Breathe t-shirts when you warm up. But that, again, I mean, that's not like this huge statement.
Right.
The league's 80% black, the fan base, a lot of African Americans, and a lot of whites and other people of color who agree with, you know what I mean, the social justice.
Think about
views.
This. Which league has a written policy that you have to stand for the national anthem?
There you go.
Is
and
it
that's
the NFL,
the biggie, Rob.
Or is it the NBA? Which league?
It's the NBA. Now, everybody Hear jumped on out. Jerry Jones, right? When Dallas Cowboys owner, he said, our players will be standing for the anthem. And then when the owners came up with the rule, well, you can stay in the locker room if you don't want to stand and stay in the tunnel. And they got criticized, right? The NBA, as you said, Rob, has a rule.
Has a rule which is goes against everything, Chris, this country is about. Plain and simple.
Has one player, And I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying don't tell me y'all a bunch of Malcolm X's.
Right, but you don't
when
have to.
Not one player has bucked that rule.
You don't have to have a rule. There shouldn't be a rule if you want to deal with it or if there's a situation. But that comes back from the Chris, I just forgot his name, Mahmoud, Chris.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Exactly. That's where that came from.
Formerly Chris Jackson.
And they get Chris Jackson, I was thinking. And they wound up getting that put in the CBA.
Yep. Because he did end up playing a few more years in the league. But a lot of people feel like he was ultimately blackballed. His career was never really the same. And he was on the rise, actually, as a player.
He was a good player. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my point.
And if you just remember real quick, he was staying in the back, Chris. They forced him out.
Right.
And then
he was. He wasn't making a display.
Exactly. He just stayed in the back. And the league, once they found out, forced him out. And then that's where the controversy started.
Yeah, so the NBA is getting hammered by people saying, you know, you're being hypocrites because, hey, what, in 2017, the NBA pulled the All-Star game out of Charlotte, North Carolina because the state had passed what was called the bathroom bill in that North Carolinians wanted their children to be in a bathroom with people who are biologically the same sex. That's what he wanted. And the NBA saw fit to pull the All-Star game out of Charlotte because of that.
Well, because they looked at it as discrimination of people, which is another issue. You know,
well, but it's also discrimination against, I mean, the state voted for it.
No, I get
it. And the people that said, look, I don't want my little girl in the bathroom with somebody who is biologically a male.
Well, we talked about this. We've seen leagues, Chris, when they want to, just like the NFL, the people of Arizona voted, right, for not to have the Martin Luther King holiday.
Right.
NFL stepped in and said, no more Super Bowls. You will not get another Super Bowl in the state of Arizona. And what happened? The people voted for it. So we've seen leagues have pressure, right? And most of the time, what is it, Chris? Financial pressure.
Well, and that's where this comes in,
yeah,
Rob.
That's why I brought it up. Financial.
It's reported that in China, the Chinese Basketball Association makes $4 billion a year. And the NBA, you know, the NBA has these grand ideas, which is great. They have been the most progressive league in terms of expansion internationally. And all of that comes through China. All of that is coming through China. And so they're being accused of just selling out for the money. Because the values that the NBA espouses, let's just keep it real, China's flouting them. They really are.
No.
I mean, you know over there, the government has the right to check all your personal emails, phone records. They can stop your check, you put a hold on your financial assets, all of that. None of that's in line with the NBA's values.
But they don't want to lose $1.4 billion
people.
Right.
And all the money that generates.
That's what they're afraid of. And it's a slippery slope. And Adam Silver can say that he supports Daryl Morey, but you know, like in words. But all the statements and the backpedaling and everything, Chris, that went on, it tells you about the NBA. And the NBA is not woke. I don't care whatever you want to believe. Yes, it's had black coaches and general managers and has a black owner and all kinds of other things that a lot of other leagues don't have, Chris. They don't have to have a rule to hire black people or interview black people, right? So there's a lot of good things about the NBA. But there's some things that you got to question.
Ultimately, it's about the dollar.
It's about the dollar. The NBA is not more woke than anybody else. They care about relationships and they care about money.
Right. That's all I'm saying. I'm not necessarily crushing the NBA on this, but it's you've tried to build this reputation that you're the league of social justice.
Can I?
And once you say that and proclaim that, then people are going to hold you accountable for that.
No doubt about it. Let me say
and
this.
And that's the situation. Go ahead. And I got one more thing.
Here's another thing, Chris. Do you remember Ozzie Guillen when he was the manager of the Marlins?
Yes.
He did an interview where he kind of supported or praised Castro. Down in Miami, that didn't play. You remember?
Right.
He wound up,
I remember
they started
that.
Protesting outside right. the stadium, whatever. What happened? He wound up losing his gig down there. All I'm saying is, Daryl, and what's going on, I'm not saying, Chris, he possibly could wind up losing his gig over this. That's how big.
Well, yeah, there's been he could because China's not playing.
I'm serious.
China's not playing.
So remember they're that. Right.
So far, they've said he's going to keep his job, the owner of the
so
Rockets.
So far,
but we'll and look. Here's the other thing: Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr, they have been more outspoken than players.
Where are they? Are they saying
against
anything
against Donald Trump? Right. But that's my point. It's easy to. And I'm not supporting President Trump. I'm just saying it's easy to kill him right now, verbally.
Because there's no ramifications financially.
No. And like you said, you get praise, right?
Right. No. That's a layup.
But now, come on. And so that's all I'm saying is like, look, this let the NBA be what it is, a basketball league. That's about generating money.
But it's not always. But see,
no.
You can't say that, Chris, and this is the problem. When you do the North Carolina bathroom bill, then you can't.
There you go.
Okay, you can't have it both ways. If you didn't do anything
right.
about that, if you were the NFL and you didn't do anything about the Martin Luther King holiday, if you didn't do any of that, then people could say, we're just here to make money, we're a business, and we're apolitical. But that, you know what I mean? And we're not into social
right.
issues, but it's not the case.
There was even a story recently about how the Players Association and the league had sent a letter to the players saying, we encourage you to speak out on social issues.
Not this one.
And let your voice be heard. Right. That's the issue, Rob Park. You hit it on the head. That's the hypocrisy.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The firing of Jay Gruden, which took place today as the Washington Redskins coach.
And Chris, we had mentioned, you remember his quote? We were talking about how defeatist he was sounding.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
And then he said, well, if the key works on Monday or whatever, then I guess. You remember that?
Right. He knew he was gone.
Right.
He knew he was gone. And he should have been gone.
I'm with you.
I don't see how you defend him. He had, 5 years, one playoff trip. So he should have been gone. But he is not the only problem there. I'm just going to keep it real. We talked about it with Rob Woodson. It starts with Dan Schneider, Rob. The owner. And he's the owner. What can you do? He runs the team. He pays the bills. So you can't get rid of him. But he would be wise, and I don't know the inside story, but in the past, he's been very involved. He would be wise to hire some football people. I think Bruce Allen, the GM, needs to go too.
I think it's time.
Get out of the way.
Yep.
Get out of the way. Because they've had good names there, right? I mentioned a few of them to Rod. Mike Shanahan, Joe Gibbs, Steve Spurrier. I know I'm missing somebody else.
Yeah.
And none of them, guys who won Super Bowls elsewhere.
So you wonder what's going on with all these football people. Not like he's been cheap and he hasn't hired anybody who's already had success previously, because he has. But there's some meddling, and if it's true, like what happened with the Haskins, that he wanted Haskins and Gruden didn't and whatnot, you know, that's why you hire people, football people, right?
Right.
I mean,
let
you
them
just
do their job.
You delegate. That's what smart people do, right? I don't
know
about
what,
it.
Right? Well, go ahead.
Yeah, you don't know about something, so you let somebody else do
right.
it.
Right. For the most part, The best owners in the NFL, you really don't hear about. I know Robert Kraft we hear about, but, you know, he's kind of an exception. Jerry Jones we hear a lot about. When's the last time they won a Super Bowl?
25 years. I mean, think about
you
it.
Know?
And Chris, it's been a long time since he took over, right?
Right.
He wanted to run it, and you can say whatever you want, the Cowboys
right.
and whatnot, but let's be honest. They've struggled with it being run as a family business.
No question.
Yes.
No question. Now the question, Rob, though, is who's next? And I'm going to throw out a name that a guy I think has to be on the hot seat. Troy Aikman, the Dallas Cowboy all-time great. He said that there are people, you know, rumblings around Dallas that Jay Gruden has to get to the conference title game.
You mean
NFC
Garrett?
Yeah, who
you said,
I say
you said Gruden. Yeah,
yeah, Jason Garrett in Dallas, right. The Cowboys head coach, has to get to the NFC title game at least to keep his job. And I'm going to be honest, Rob, I think that's fair.
I do too.
Right?
He's been there a long time, and I get
this it. This is 10th year.
They've won two out of the last three NFC East, Chris. That big feather in his cap.
Right.
But think about it, right? They didn't give him a new contract. Despite that, isn't this his last year?
Yeah.
Yep. So that tells you all you need to know. What coach who has won two of the last three division titles is still working like that?
He's fortunate to still be there. Let's just keep it real.
Right.
He's fortunate to still be there. He's made the playoffs 3 years in nine seasons with the Cowboys. Three times in nine seasons. And I'm not saying he's horrible. You know, I give him a shot this year. You got a new OC, Kellen Moore. You know, we got a lot of talent. I'll give him a shot this year. But if you don't get it done this year, at least to the conference championship game, then you're gone. You're gone. There's already talk that they should go after Lincoln Riley. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I do too. I think that that's going to be in play.
Yep. And so far, Robin, you know, we always go back and forth about the Cowboys. But look, I got to face it. So far, not so good. You look like world beaters against the three chumps you opened up with.
Big time. They look unstoppable, didn't they?
Right. And let's keep it real. These last two games where you played legitimate teams, you have looked bad. Period. And that's got to be, you got the players, you've paid most of the players, you know they can play. I'm looking at the coach. I'm looking at the coach. I'm not firing him now, not even during the season.
Honestly.
But I'm looking at him right now.
Because it's still 3-2, and it's not, the season's not over. We got it.
Right.
But the other guy, Chris, too, I think is Tomlin. And I know Pittsburgh has a history of having, three coaches the last 75 years or whatever it is?
Yes.
I mean, that's what they do.
Four. Chuck Knoll, with the Cower. Cower came right after Knoll.
Chuck Knoll, Cower, and Tomlin.
And Tomlin, and then whoever was before Knoll. I think you're right. I think
But Chuck Knoll coached like 24 years or something.
Yeah.
So we start with Knoll. I'm telling you, Lee, can you see what that is? But they've had three coaches in the last 40-something years? Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an incredible run, but I know that Chris, they
I'm
got injuries.
To hear you say Tomlin.
They got injuries, all kinds of stuff, but I don't know. Just the way things went down with the whole AB stuff, you just questioned how that all was figured out and why was that allowed to get to the point that it got. You know what I mean?
You can look at people have looked at it one of two ways, right? I'm not saying your way is the wrong way because I don't know, but people have looked at it like you can rip Tomlin and, you know, he let Ben, you know, run roughshod throughout the franchise in the locker room, and that led AB, remember that story came out? That led AB to say, hold on, why is he getting special treatment? And the greater AB became as a player, the more problematic he became because of what he saw with Roethlisberger getting away with. But then there are those that are crediting Tomlin and saying he deserves the Nobel Peace Prize.
Because you didn't know all that was going on. Right.
And you got you didn't win the big one, but you did get production and you were obviously a very good and relevant team for all those years with AB.
I get it. And that's a fair point as well. It just seems like Pittsburgh doesn't feel the same to me. You know, like they and I get all the injuries and all the other stuff going on, but there's something there.
Well, they're clearly not the same. You're right about that. I just don't know that I blame Tomlin. Like, I give him a shot to, it looks like it's almost a rebuild. Now, Ben, you know, all indications are he's coming back. But they got to get more talent on that team.
We got a score update real quick. Torres Glaber Day just hit a solo home run for the Yankees. It's 1-0 in the second.
Wow.
So already.
Yeah, it's already started. But I look, I'll say this. The Steelers, they've looked better recently. And I don't think they're, even though, I mean, who knows, Rudolph, without Ben, now you're without Rudolph for a while.
And I don't know if that's fair to a coach, right?
I don't think it'd be fair to get rid of him. He does have some limitations, but I think he's clearly a good coach.
It just doesn't feel good anymore, Chris. I'm not trying to say there are other coaches far worse who haven't done anything. This guy's won a Super Bowl. This guy has been to 2 Super Bowls. He's never had a losing record. If someone wanted to make the case, it's not his fault and all that, it's hard for me to argue. It just doesn't feel the same to me anymore. And I don't know.
And there are some times where you just need to make a change. I wouldn't fire him, but I hear what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, sometimes the voice gets old and, you know, you need a different voice. It's happened to some of the best coaches ever in different sports. And so I feel you. And it's interesting because Tomlin's name has been thrown out there as a possibility.
For other jobs.
In Washington.
Right. What does that mean? That they even think he might be available.
Right. So the fact that his name is out there might lend some credence to what you're saying. Here's what I'd say about Tomlin. If I am Mike Tomlin, and the Steelers have no intention of getting rid of me. Like, the Rooneys are fine with me. They got my back. I don't know what his contractual situation is, but I've got security or whatever. I'm not leaving Pittsburgh for Washington. Would you?
No. Not if he's not fired. I mean, you know what I mean?
Okay, like, okay.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I would not do it. That franchise and the owner, I would just have a problem. Look, Pittsburgh, you can say whatever you want. Steady ownership, you know what you're going to get, Chris. You know
right.
that for the most part.
You know you got security unless you just screw up royally.
Right. But the other way around, to go to that mess that is Washington, D.C., and the owner and you got the only constant over the last 20 years, Chris, is him.
That's right. It's like people rip James Dolan because of the Knicks. Futility.
Right.
Because he's the constant.
He's the constant. They've had everybody. Larry Brown
right.
was there.
Right. Phil Jackson, Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah. Right. Right.
Glenny Wilkins.
Who amazing. Else? Don Nelson. Wasn't he there too? Remember Don?
No, not. Well, he was there before.
But that was before yeah, I was
before
trying to
Dolan.
Think.
That was the old regime. Right they, before Jeff Van Gundy.
Before that, yeah. But they've had everybody there at the Garden and none of it works.
Right. And so you look at the constant and it's the same thing. With the Redskins.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.